Explore personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to you.
I have been learning to walk in love. It is not easy to walk in love. The fruit of the Spirit is walking in love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Oh my God, please help me to walk in love and to forgive. Oh, it's not easy, but I can make it. For love is patient and love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not proud. It's not unbecoming. Love does not boast. And love does not seek its own. For love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not boast. And now there abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Oh, love. Can I attain to it without love? Or love, my prayers are nothing. Without love, my tongues are nothing. Without love, my giving is nothing. Patient and love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not proud. It's not unbecoming. Love does not boast. And love does not seek its own. For love is patient. Love is not jealous. Love does not not unbecoming. Love does not boast. Love is not easily provoked. Love is patient. Love is kind. Oh, love is not jealous. Love does not boast. Oh. about love. Everyone says it is love, but I know it is the love they have found. Emotions and feelings. In time, I found the greater love of God. No other love. Of love, the only thing that's real, oh yeah. When I found you, oh, the love of boys and of men couldn't match your perfect love. Will do. Oh, Jesus, Lord, Jesus, Lord, your love is the greater love. Oh, yeah, you will always be my first love. Rest in you. I find my hope in you. Oh, and Lord, oh Lord, you won my heart on Calvary. I want to serve you. To serve you first, I want to serve you first, and my life, yes, my life will always be for you, Jesus, because your love is the greater love, no other love compares. I have to live my life again, Lord Jesus. I give my heart to you again. And serve you all my life. If I had the chance to start my life all over, I would choose you so much earlier. So much to me. I tried so many other things, they all just turned to vanity. No one else makes me feel the way I feel since I found you. There's no one I love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say I love you. Will you just smile? Ready at 20, ready for the war. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. There is nothing I can't do for the Lord. nowhere that's too far. There's no battle I can fight ready at 20. To this glorious mission, unreservedly. Let us never think that our time, our strength, our families are our own. Let us dedicate them all to God and to His Word. Let us give ourselves wholly. Irrevocable. it remains to be contemplated, yeah, through all eternity. Ready at 60, will you be ready at 60, ready for the war? Oh, ready at 20, yeah. Be ready at 20 for the work of God. The days go by. Such a garment that we will love to wear for all eternity. Oh yeah, yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Mm-hmm. I'll be ready at 20,
ladies and gentlemen, it's time for testimonies. Amen. How many of you love testimonies? The Bible says in Hosea 12:10 that I have spoken by the prophets this morning. The prayers and the prophecies of our prophets have practically been fulfilled in the lives of our brothers and sisters, and they want to testify. So please put your hands together as we welcome all our brothers and sisters who want to testify of the prophecies that they have practically received. Please put your hands together for them as they come up. Oh, please encourage them. The louder your clap, the faster your testimony comes to you. Amen. Are you ready to listen to the... Are you ready for the powerful testimonies? We have our sister, Telly Nam. She wants to testify of an iPad she received through the prophecy of the prophets. Please put your hands together for her.
My name is Telly Nam Ellie. I'm from the Kolibuba Center, and I'm in the Greater Love Choir. I want to testify of how, to the glory of God, the prophecies of our prophets have practically come to pass in my life. Every time that the prophet has been proclaiming iPads into the air, I have been lifting my amen net and catching it. And I didn't even know how I was going to get an iPad. I never dreamt of it. I was always writing notes. But then by the grace of God, I believed it, even though I didn't know how it was going to come to pass. And I received a new iPad. And also, I believe that I received this iPad through the counsel of Bishop when he told us to have a good relationship with our fathers. And it's my father who bought me this iPad. Thank you very much. I want to encourage all of you to believe in the prophecies and listen to the counsel of the prophet Bishop Dagwood Mills. Thank you.
Amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Those of you who are writing notes and those who are not clapping, as you clap, you are receiving your testimony. In Jesus' name, we have another testimony. Our brother wants to testify of his honeymoon experience that was declared by the prophet.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kobana Samoa Jr., popularly known as Iceberg. And I want to testify about the goodness of the Lord and the prophecies of the prophet, our prophet, that have come to pass practically in my life. Last year, December, just before I got married, the prophet was ministering here in one of the services, and he was walking around usually like he does, and he prophesied and said that your marriage will be nice. And he said that some of you are going to enjoy a very nice honeymoon. And he said that you'll be on the honeymoon and you'll be in a swimming pool with your wife, and you'll come out of the water to eat burger and chips, and you go back again to and enter the water. And like the always some of the response is people were, because it was a very casual, it sounded very casual, some were laughing, but I believed it, knowing how the prophets usually prophesied. And I'm here to testify to the glory of God that prophecy came to pass practically and literally in my life. I want to encourage all of us to believe in the prophet, and especially his style that he ministers. And I know it will be a blessing. Thank you so much, prophet. And the prophecies are advancing us, and our lives are being blessed. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Do you want more testimonies? We have another testimony how people have received divine provision. Let's welcome David Yali to share his testimony with us.
May God give you a hundredfold increase. Every currency, 100. Father, bless them to build houses as they give in Jesus' name. Come quickly, quickly. 100. It's the time for hundreds. Beautiful. 100 of anything. And you don't want to give 20. You don't have 20, but you have 10. This is your moment. Run. Run.
Hallelujah. Amen. My name is David Yali, and I'm a Basenta leader in the Dansuma Nagege area, and I'm in the Greater Love Choir. Amen. I'm here to testify about the goodness of the Lord and how much the prophecies of our prophet happened instantly when I gave an offering. And as you heard, last 2 weeks during the revival service, the prophet called for people to come and give 100 of every currency. And he said that if you give, you receive 100-fold. But I did not have that amount of money. And all I had was on me was 10 rand. And the prophet went on and he said that anyone who has 10 of every currency, come to the front to come and give. And you know, 10 rand is about 3 cities in the Ghanaian, 3 cities, yes. And I went to give that offering, believing God for a blessing to happen in my life. Can you believe that very evening, that very night, before I went home, I met someone, surprisingly, and he just gave me $100 bill. Yes. And how a 10 rand can turn into $100 in one night, in the space of about less than 2 hours, it happened practically in my life. And I want to thank God for giving us such a prophet to pray for us and prophesy a lot of blessings into our lives. And I want to thank you so much, Bishop, for caring for us and praying for us. Amen.
Put your hands together for powerful testimonies. Are you enjoying the testimonies? Do you want more? We have another testimony, church. People are receiving good news. They are receiving pleasant surprises. And I want us to enjoy the video of our sister, Rahel, who experienced good news practically in her life.
Lift your hand now. He's coming towards you with a good surprise. May you have good news this week. May you have good
news this week. May good news come in your direction this week in the name of Jesus Christ.
My name is Rahel Rafferson from Legon Campus, and I'm here to testify of a testimony I received from the prophet last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks after the communion, prophet prophesied that we will hear good news and pleasant surprises. I had forgotten about a scholarship my lecturer signed in my name. But immediately he talked about good news. I remembered the scholarship and I believed that I will receive the scholarship. Last Wednesday, I was in the room when my lecturer called me that I should come to the HOD's office. When I got there, there was the pleasant news. I had received a fully funded scholarship that would pay for my MPhil on campus. And also, next year, God willing, I'll be going to Canada for an exchange program, which will help me do my thesis, project thesis on diplomatic missions. I really want to thank God so much for the prophecy. And I'm literally shaking. But the prophecies prophet has been saying over our lives, they come to pass. It may come as a counsel. It may come as an advice. But if as you believe, that's the prophecy. And this is the prophet God has given to us. And these prophecies are for everyone. God richly bless you, prophet. And thank you so much.
Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Those of you who, when the prophet prophesies and tells us to write down things we want to see in our lives, some of you have not been writing it, but church, it's been fulfilled in the life of many people. Put your hands together as we welcome Grace Ann to share her testimony with us. Please encourage her as she comes.
In the next 3 months, I declare there's a change in your situation. Take out a piece of paper right now. Take out a piece of paper. I want you to be writing down some of these prayers. The presence of God in your life in the next 3 months is going to solve your greatest prayer topic that you've been praying about in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hello everyone, my name is Grace Ann Abebio and I'm in the Saber Center. I'm here this morning to testify to the glory of God. So somewhere last year, I think around August, the prophet was teaching. He was teaching on a little series called The Presence of God. And in one of the parts, as he was preaching and teaching, he stopped to prophesy. He asked us to take out a sheet of paper and write down three pressing things we want God to do for us in the next 3 months. Around that time, I was just about finishing service. So one of the things I wrote down was for God to give me a job. Then I said to the glory of God that on the first day of the second month, within the 3 months, he said good things were going to happen to us. I had started working fully. I didn't write an application letter. I didn't submit any CV. I was actually chosen for the job by a shepherd. So I want to give God the glory. And on this note, I want to encourage us that when the prophet tells us to do something, we should really attack it with strength. When you look through the Bible, anytime God sends prophets to minister to people, the prophets didn't necessarily need what the people ministered to them. When you take Elijah, he didn't really need the he didn't need the widow's bread, but because God has sent ravens to feed Elijah, but God divinely wanted to provide for the widow during the time of the famine, so he sent her Elijah to provide for her. And in the New Testament, the woman at the Samaritan well. The Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus didn't really need the water because Jesus himself was the river of life. But God wanted to turn around the woman's life. So he sent her, Jesus, to ask for a drink of, a pitcher of water. So I want to encourage us that when the prophet tells us to do something, like he's asked us to bring souls today, you should attack it with strength and bring your souls, because you may never know what bringing the souls will do for you. God bless you so much, prophet. Thank you so much for the prophets. Keep prophesying over our lives. They are coming to pass. We are grateful.
Put your hands together for powerful testimony. testimonies. The louder your hand clap, the faster your testimony is coming to you. We have another testimony. Let's enjoy this wonderful video of how a member was delivered from death. Please, let's enjoy the video.
Somebody here, the devil says you die, but God says you live. Whose report will you believe? The report of the Lord. Now I speak to the rider of a horse, coming with death and with announcements of death. And I say, go back, go back, go back in the name of Jesus. You cannot come with that announcement.
Our sister Fafa was delivered from death, and we have Gomez to testify on her behalf of how this prophecy was fulfilled in her life.
Amen. Hallelujah. My name is Clemens Gomez, and I'm saying this testimony on behalf of my member Fafa Judith Kemevo. So last two Sundays ago, right after service, we were having our usual meetings, and then Fafa was one of the meetings, and she complained that she had some sharp pain in her abdomen. So one of our doctors came to examine her and advised that we should take her to the hospital right away. But even before we took her to the hospital, she passed out. We had to carry and put her in the car, and then we rushed her to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, the doctor examined her and stabilized her, and then said that he has to admit her in the hospital for a night so that he can examine her and make sure that everything is okay with her. But something terrible happened that night. What happened was that three people in the hospital died, including a girl who was sleeping right by Fafa. Fafa said that she was even chatting with a girl later in the night. I saw the girl, I spoke to her, and I even encouraged her that she should get well soon. So three people died by the grace of God and the prayer and the prophecies of our prophet. Fafa was delivered just as she saw. The prophet said that, I see a rider of a horse coming with an announcement of death. And he said that, go back, go back, go back. And we believe that it is this prayer that has preserved and kept Fafa alive. We thank God so much. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a shout for powerful testimonies? Our prophet has been prophesied that we are going to build. How many of you believe in that prophecy? It has practically come to pass in the life of our pastor. Please, let's enjoy this video.
Child of a builder is a builder. When they walls, towers, gates, bars, you could say a big thing, a small thing, a big thing, a small thing, a big thing. They don't have to build something. You see the rain of the builder's anointing falling all over you. God's blessing is over you to become a builder. You'll build many things for the Lord.
Let's welcome our pastor, Reverend Peter Bright, to testify of how this prophecy has practically come to pass in his life.
Wow. Praise the Lord. I think I just need to say thank you. 18 months ago, our father and our prophet said I should go to Nigeria and to do the book work. And he said to us, you shall build and you will do well. And he gave us books. And by the grace of God, we have built very powerful, by the grace of God, something. And International Macarius Center, which is now a phenomenal in Oyo State of Nigeria. And we want to say thank you because we are all practically living on your word, prophet. And then also living on your books. We have families. This is all we live on. And our life has changed. We have prospered on the mission just with one word. Thank you. And we believe that it's just the beginning because you keep speaking. Every time I come around, you keep speaking into our lives. And I want to say thank you very much. And thank you very much. We really appreciate you. My team are actually on their way. They were supposed to be here, they're driving down, but they will be at the Give Thyself Holy Conference. All of us are coming with a blessing. We have vehicles through the books and the prophecies that you have given to us. Lives are changing and our lives are blessed. Thank you very much, our prophet. We thank you very much. God bless.
Oh, church, I thought you stand to your feet and put your hands together for powerful testimonies. We have our final testimonies. Our pastor and our prophet is raising pastors. Some of you, you can't believe that you can ever be a pastor, but you can get a testimony as you watch this powerful video of how one of our members was transformed into a pastor.
Are you not an elder of the campus church? And you stand up, you're just controlling sound. You don't know that, you see, you are now in the helps ministry to these ladies. They should be helping you. They should be helping you. You are helping them.
Isaac Ofori Ajeman. Ajeman. Popularly known as Ajeman.
He
used to be a DJ, isn't it? Ajeman used to be a DJ in Kumasi. Yes. He was a DJ in a nightclub. And he can show you pictures of when he was in full operation. But God saved him, and today he's become a pastor.
Hallelujah. Wow. I thank God for such a wonderful day. And even in this month of October, I remember when I joined the church, one day Bishop was preaching and then he turned to the back. I was sitting by the one at the back. And he said that, why are you not an elder? Why are you not a spiritual man? And he didn't speak to me directly, but I was sitting by the one. But the Bible says that he has spoken to us through prophets. He has multiplied visions and he has used similitude by the ministry of the prophet. So I believe that day he used the ministry of the prophet through similitude. So that was the day that I was in church. I was just an usher, a sound guy. And after the message, I really cried because I remember how my life used to be when I was in Kumasi. I remember one day I was going to a nightclub in a leather jeans and a leather cap. And I didn't have money that day, so I jammed the wall of the nightclub. When I jammed, there was soldiers. They caught me that day. It was really terrible. And another day, to one of my birthday, my 18th birthday, I had a whole nightclub. and hosted a birthday in a nightclub. Little did I know that the following year, when I was coming to the university, I was coming to meet a prophet. So through the similitude that day, God convicted me. And I decided that I cannot just be an usher at the back. So I had to be serious from the prophecy that day, because it was casual. And could have said that maybe it's for the born. It wasn't me. But that day, God really spoke to me. So a year after, we went for an elders camp. And the prophet was praying for us. And he called me Ajiman. And he laid hands on me. And he said that, may you never be barren. May you never be found without a gift. And I remember that right after, I was sent to start a church in Wisconsin, a church in Hacho, a church in Pentagon. Because the Bible says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, that was given to you through prophecy and by the laying of hands. So I remember that day, there was an impartation to be fruitful. And through that day, my life has really been a blessing. Exactly a year after the camp, that was October, 4 years ago, was pastoral appointment day. And I couldn't believe that this ninth clubber, this bad boy in essence, because when I was in level 1, there wasn't maybe I was saved church, I knew what to do. I wasn't like that. But from that day, and I remember I went to Kumasi and I saw one of my friends has become a drug addict. Some of them have become smokers. Some of them have died. But I believe my encounter with the prophet that day changed my life. So as you've come to church today, the prophet will be preaching. Don't say it's for somebody. And I remember how Anasha used to be at the back. By now, by the grace of God, I sit in front. There's a seat in front for me. I'm a pastor, a basenta leader. I won the award for the best basenta town with the largest number of buses. You can see that the gift is really working. And I want to say thank you so much, Daddy, for such your words of encouraging. And it didn't end there. I remember NNB. Daddy was preaching. The prophet said, how many of you don't have a digital phone? And I lifted my hand and said, this week you receive a phone. Less than a week, I received a brand new phone with 7 cases. Different case. Less than a week through the prophecy. That was NNB. And from NNB, we moved to CC, Central Cafeteria. And he was preaching again. He said that, how many of you don't have iPads? Receive an iPad. And I lifted my hands and I received the iPad. So the following day, Daddy said that if you are here, you know a relative, call the relative and tell the relative that you need an iPad. I said that, okay. So the following morning when I woke up, I called my uncle that I need an iPad. I said, oh, really? Just bought one. Then you can just buy another one for me. Less than a week, I received an iPad too. That was in the end. From CC, we moved to the First Love Center. And the prophet was preaching one day. He said that, this week, some people are going to receive cars. Less than a week, by the grace of God, I received a brand new car. I haven't driven before. My first car, Tierra Baca. I couldn't believe it. So, the Bible says that they prospered through the prophecies of the prophets. Thank you, Daddy, that your words are working in our lives. Prophet, thank you for your words. Because the Bible says that believe in the God, believe in God, you'll be established. And believe in his prophet, you will prosper. Thank you, Prophet Doug, for your encouraging words. So today, if I stand here as a pastor, and not only that I'm a pastor, but I'm a full-time pastor. Not only did my life change, but the course of my life, like how Saul met Prophet Samuel, the course of his life changed. And I thank God that today, when I wake up from Sunday to Monday, all my life is about the ministry, which is really a blessing. Thank you, Prophet Doug, for making some of us a ninth club guy like me. Today, a preacher, a pastor. It's such a blessing. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the powerful testimonies. Why don't you rise to your feet and put your hands together for the gift of God that has been showered on us. God has blessed us with a prophet, and we are being delivered from our Egypt. In Jesus' name, please take your seat as we welcome Ida.
Thank you. you were saved and the joy you felt inside. Do you remember you were born again? You went around telling everyone. Do you remember happy in church in his presence all day long? Do you remember singing in the choir? You went to church almost every day. Do you remember the time God spoke to you? When God called you, you said, I'll go to the ends of the world. Do you remember what you said to him? You said, I'll take up my cross and I'll follow you. Do you remember the dreams you had and the visions you shared with us? Do you remember hands laid on you? And you were anointed. Remember the time God spoke to you. Remember the time He touched your heart. Yeah, remember the time. Oh, Jesus saved your life. Remember the time. Those sweet memories of the call of God. I guess you remember.
Your hands. Father, thank you for the blessings. We have come to receive the help. We have come to receive this morning from you. Thank you that even though we are in a world that is cursed, we are blessed. Even though there's much difficulty, your help and your hand is helping us through it all. Thank you that we can hear the sound of rain beginning to fall on our fields and on our lives. What was dry and what was brown is beginning to grow. It's beginning to revive. It's beginning to rise. Thank you for power from on high. Power to walk with you. Power to serve you. Power to obey you. Power to prosper in this life. Thank you. Now we receive the angels' supernatural help. We receive supernatural assistance and supernatural interventions in our lives, in every area of our lives. We lift our hands and receive help from heaven. Help from heaven. Help from heaven. Concerning all matters, seen and unseen, known and unknown, clear and easily understood issues, and complex issues, we receive assistance and help from you, O God. Now, stretch out your hand, O Lord, and touch everyone here. Let there be no more dry season in anyone's life. Let the grass become green and the fields green. Let your blessing fall upon the little ones. Let them be as grown-ups in maturity and in prosperity. Give them the wisdom of the ancients and the older ones. Cause them to stand in places that only elderly people stand in. Cause them to occupy positions that only those who have worked for years can occupy. Give them seats and thrones. Give them rooms, positions and places. Superior places and positions. In every place they stand and every area they occupy, cause them to shine and be 10 times better. By your hand, Father, I speak your blessing upon your children. For they are like sheep in a field. Let rain fall on the grass and let there be changes, improvements, and help from above. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Your dry season is over. Your dry season is over. No more dry season for you from today, in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be here. I want to bring you greetings. We were in Paris. And then we were in Congo Brazzaville. And then in Kinshasa, that is Democratic Republic of Congo, Mobutu's country. Kabila's country now, but it was Mobutu before. So we are glad to be back. We had a Give Thyself Holy conferences. And God is blessing the ministry every day. Amen. Now, today is Honor Your Prophet Sunday, and so I'm going to share with you about this topic. So there are different titles you could give my little message. One is Right and Wrong Thinking, and one is Honoring and Dishonoring, and another is The Prophet's Honor. It depends on how you want to label it, but I've given you options. You can take the one you want. Right and Wrong Thinking, and then Honoring and Dishonoring, and then Honor Your Prophet, or The Prophet's Honor. So these are all options. Now, this is such a serious topic that I don't want to leave it to your imagination. Amen. I don't want you to think wrongly, because it is the cause of the diminishing of people that would have been great. Is to not to think well. All right? So, Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. All right? That's unfortunate. Now, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Amazing. Now, one of the ways by which God takes care of us is to send a prophet, a man of God, a pastor, a father, different ways of describing the man of God into your life. Hallelujah. Now, if you notice, this is Mark chapter 6. All right. And from this verse 5, this chapter of Mark continues, you know, for 56 more verses. All right. Let me just tell you something, just to help you to remember the Bible. Mark 5 is the story of the madman of Gadara, the woman with the issue of blood. And also at the end in the Matthew 1 talks about two blind men also. But it's the madman of Gadara, the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus' daughter. They all happen together. All right. Are you with me? He came from the madman of Gadara, came here, then from there he was called to Jairus' house, and on the way the woman with the issue of blood. So that's Mark 5. Mark 6 is the one that has where he was a prophet and he was not accepted in his country. Then from there, it all continues as one event up to verse 56. Okay? So, but from the time that he was rejected as a prophet till we get to the last part of the verse, it's in verse 53. When he had passed over, came to the land of Gennesaret, drew to the shore. When they were come out of the ship, straight away they knew him, and ran through that whole region about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. Remember, he couldn't heal the sick in verse 5. But now they were carrying the sick. Because when you are not honored, you have to travel away from where they don't honor you. You can't force people to honor. It's like love. You can't force people to love you. You can't force people to honor you. Honor is something that comes from the heart. Sometimes we teach about it so that you can overcome deceptions. All right? Now, verse 55, they ran through the whole region, carrying about in beds those that were sick. So people were being carried in beds. Okay, now verse 56 says, and whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, the border of his garment. Remember, at first, he couldn't do anything, so he had to lay hands. This time wasn't laying hands. There was so much power. Okay? They just needed to touch the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. So, you see the contrast. From the beginning of Mark chapter 6 to the end, you see that there he couldn't do much. He goes to another place, there's a lot of power that's coming out of him. Now, in between Mark 6 and 56, is a series of about five fantastic miracles, including one main one was the multiplication of bread and fish. So the people were supplied financially. And then walking on the water, he walked on the water. And then he delegated power to his disciples, you know, and so on. So many, 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 much power, you know, was released from the same Jesus. Do you see? But in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, right, when he was in his hometown, you know, Jesus said, you know, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among and in his own house. So those three people are in danger of not experiencing miracles, financial provision, financial blessing. That is your own country, your own relatives, and then in your own house. Okay? That is, yeah, these are places where you don't have much honor. And it applies to everybody, including Jesus. If it applies to Jesus, it applies to everybody, including me. And verse 5, and notice, he could not, you know. Not that he didn't want to, do you see? But it's like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. God's power doesn't work where it is not honored. It just doesn't work. And it didn't work for Jesus. And one day, Kenneth Hagin had a vision, and he met Jesus. And he has had 8 of such visions. And one of them, he was asking the Lord, why was he not able to have many miracles? And Jesus told him, you are doing as well as I did in those circumstances. That's what the Lord told him. You are doing as well as I did. Yeah, it's okay. So you shouldn't worry about that, about what he's doing. That's what can be done there. And then nothing much can be done when people don't really believe and honor, you know, the prophet who has come. And you know, Jesus didn't really say that he's a prophet, but he was explaining that prophets are just not honored in these circumstances. Now, notice verse 6. All right? Verse 6. And he marveled. Like he was amazed at the level of not believing in him. Do you get what I'm saying? He was amazed. He marveled at their unbelief. Okay, now, and his response to not being honored was to travel. If you are a man of God and you are not honored, the best is to move. And that is actually the reason why Jesus told us we should go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of there, because there's a time when the Jerusalem people will be tired of you. Then after some time, the Samaria people may also not be so impressed. Then after some time, the Judea people will not be impressed, the Samaria people, then the uttermost part. By that time, your life is over. And you can go to be with the Lord. But if you stay in Jerusalem, what happens is that your ministry dies gradually, because your ministry is as powerful as the honor that it receives. Yes, your ministry is as powerful as the honor that it receives. And that is why younger ministers, not even younger ministers, or even sometimes uneducated ministers, younger ministers and so on, dress up in a very sharp and impressive way, and sometimes drive expensive cars and conduct themselves in a certain superior way, which is understandable, because you're walking in the midst of people who don't want to respect you, and people fear such things too. The person comes with a type of car, with a convoy in a certain way, with some lights and other things, and it's like, wow. I mean, a man of God has come in his Bentley, in his Rolls Royce, and so on. And you fear the person. So people do this.
you know, and you can understand. And if I was, what do you call it, advising a young person, I say, look, conduct yourself in a way for the people to fear and respect you as in your calling. Because people want to buy you a small boy. Ah, hello, what are you? I mean, people are saying they are men of God and you are also saying that you are a man of God. This is how people would like to neutralize you. Yes. One time I sent one of my pastors somewhere to visit someone in his house. And he said, I don't listen to apprentices. I don't listen to apprentices. You know, I mean, that was his response to the people that I sent. So, if you are being seen as an apprentice, you must also dress well so that they with shiny and pointed shoes, you know, and shiny suit, everything, so that there's no question. You know, and if the people want to throw you away, they should know who they are throwing away. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So you don't just, you know, conduct yourself in the wrong way. Are you there? You are leaving. So, you know, people don't benefit. I would say perhaps the biggest loss for not honoring prophet is financial and also healing. But I think the biggest is financial. Yeah. I think that it's actually a cause of poverty. You know, that's the big one. So that's why I want to address it. I don't want to just leave it as something that, you know, we are saying that, oh, you know, honor your prophet, or give an offering to the prophet and so on. Now, that would be a mistake. Are you with me? Yeah, you lose out greatly. Wow. Are you there? Yeah. Now, notice something here when I say financial, because in the miracles that happened in Mark chapter 6, there were two big financial breakthroughs. And one of them was at the very beginning. In fact, immediately after Jesus was despised by these people in Mark chapter 6, he called forth. Look at verse 7. He called forth his disciples and sent them out two by two and gave them power over the unclean spirit. Now notice, and he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money, and be short. And later in Luke, he asked them, when I sent you, did you lack money? So that was the first financial miracle. He sent them out and supernaturally assigned angels and supernatural invisible powers to supply all their needs for their entire journey. So this was the first thing that the people who despised Jesus missed. The first thing was financial. You know, because Jesus is, God is in control. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God has the power to command finances into your hands. That's why I said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down. Men shall give to you. Men shall give to you. So, God is showing us, hallelujah, that men can actually be sent to give to you. And Jesus said, don't take a bag. Don't take a purse. Don't take it. I said, don't take anything. No transport money, no food money, nothing. Don't take it. No purse, no money. Look at the scripture there. No money. Don't take money. I mean, this is supernatural. So this is the first, this is verse 8. Remember, it was verse, by verse 6, he was despised. He was so despised that he marveled at their unbelief. But by verse 8, he's starting to do financial things. Yeah. So a lot of people, and in our church, United Denominations, I noticed that is perhaps the greatest deficiency of people who have despised my prophecies to them has been financial deficiencies. Yeah. Meanwhile, I keep on going higher. You know? I mean, this must be one of the blessed ministries somewhere. Yes. But how can it be that we are so blessed and individuals within the ministry are not experiencing the grace? Because, you see, to prosper, I'll tell you something. To prosper, you know, whether you like it or not, it's like, you just assume, let's say, we put you in a rocket and we fly you to Mars. When you get there, then we tell you the conditions here. We tell you the conditions here are such that when you plant a seed and it grows, you get very, very little. And you work very hard, do you see, and get very little result. Now, that is what has happened to you. You've been flown to this earth. As you've arrived here, they've informed you the conditions here are, you work very hard and plant, and you get very little. So it's not Mars, it's here. Mars is colder than the earth. You know, the moon is very hot, sometimes very cold. But Mars and all these other planets going further are getting colder, and there are different conditions. We recently had a hurricane in Ghana, isn't it? There was a storm. I hear there was a storm, very strong storm. I hear it was called Hurricane Aquile or something. Yeah. But I don't know. I wasn't here, but that's what I heard. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Are you still around? What was I telling you about? The conditions of Mars. Yeah. So anyway, the conditions here, if you go to Jupiter, it's not Hurricane Aquile or any of these hurricanes, but winds that are blowing over 1,000 miles per hour. And the planets are twirling around at top speed. And they are huge. Saturn is about 1,000 times bigger than Earth. So, I mean, every planet you go to, you must know the conditions. I hope you get what I'm saying. So I don't know which planet you are going to next, but here, the conditions are, you work, and you have something to eat, something to drink, but not much extra. Almost every job is like that. And hardly do people prosper at a certain level on a salary. Across the whole world, whether they live in America, England, Germany, Ghana, Nigeria, this is the picture. So to break, and Satan is the one supervising this case, is ensuring that this thing is well supervised. We are not supposed to have much. Yes. So when somebody starts to prosper, it means that there's been an intervention in the case. When I say prosper, I mean at a certain level, there's been an intervention. And I believe that this ministry, your church, is experiencing an intervention. That is how come we are even able to be here. Yes. Yes. There's some intervention. And that intervention is allowing some level of prosperity to come to the church. And I prophesy that you are also going to experience the grace that is upon the ministry in your personal life. In Jesus' name. Say prophesy. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is very important. Now, turn to Mark chapter. I don't know if you want to use the Mark one or the Matthew one. Which one do you like, Mark or Matthew? Matthew? Okay, Matthew. Matthew 16.
All right? So right and wrong thinking. And I want you to watch this beautiful thing that's going to unfold here. You chose Matthew, so we are going to Matthew. It's a democratic era. All right. It's quite hot today, isn't it? Yeah, sorry about this. No air conditioning, but soon you'll be feeling cold. And I hope you remember when you were feeling hot. It's just a matter of time. Now, verse 13. Now, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What do people say? Isn't it? Verse 14. Then they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So he said unto them, "Who say ye that I am? What about you?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "And I will give you the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, here you have an example of correct thinking. We have right and wrong thinking. Mark chapter 6 had wrong thinking. And Matthew 16, you see Peter having right thinking about Jesus. He saw him correctly. All right? And it brought a great blessing. All right? So, notice verse 13? It says, verse 13, "And Jesus came and said, 'Who do men say that I am?'" Verse 14, beautiful. Now notice what was being said here. All right? They were asking Jesus, okay, you know, who do people say? And look at the kind of names that they mention here. Now, these are big, big names of great people. So they were actually promoting Jesus and saying, "Lord, you are John the Baptist. You are Elijah. You are Elijah." These are big, big prophets. The biggest prophets of all. Major prophets. Jeremiah, senior prophets. Yes. Or one of the prophets. Do you see? Verse 15. So, but then Jesus is now asking, "But who do you say? How do you think about me?" Do you see? That's what matters. Not what people think. It's what you think. That's what matters. Yeah. What people think doesn't affect you. If you go to an exam, you go for an exam and you are writing, you say, "What are the, describe the longest river in the world." And you are describing the Volta River. Somebody describing the Nile River. Somebody describing Mississippi. Somebody describing the river Pra, Ancobra. Okay. That person's thoughts are leading him to Ancobra River. And what's the longest river in the world? Who knows? Don't tell me the wrong thing. You'll be pondered. You'll get it wet this afternoon. Okay, you don't know. I won't tell you either. I know, but I won't tell you. So, you are losing. Are you listening to me? You who are thinking that it is Ancobra River and you are writing your essay, you are losing. So, the thoughts in your head are affecting you. They make you lose. But I didn't make me. I'm in my seat next to you. I have a different mind. And I'm writing my exam. My thoughts are making me pass. And your thoughts are making you fail. Yes. Right thinking. Right and wrong thinking. Kenneth Hagin has a book called Right and Wrong Thinking. Why not have the same title? It's working. Right and wrong thinking. You are thinking what are the enzymes in the stomach? And you have written salivary amylase. Or I don't know what you've written. The enzyme in the stomach. I mean, you've written bile. You said bile is an enzyme. You know? Okay. Your thoughts are affecting your future. You are never going to be a doctor because you can't pass biology. Am I right or wrong? What somebody else thinks is going to affect him. So when somebody thinks he's Jeremiah, somebody thinks he's Elijah, somebody thinks he's one of the prophets, it's unto them. And it's their future which is controlled by what they are thinking. So how you think is affect you. You have your thoughts. You when they write economics and say, how do you do this and that? You write what you think. Everybody writes what he thinks. And everybody's thoughts make the person's future change. So this is why Jesus said, so what about you, Peter? What do you think? How do you think about me? I've been with you. This is Caesarea Philippi. Once I was in Israel, they showed me the place. Like it's far. It was like toward the end of his ministry. He wandered far away from. You wouldn't find him near Jerusalem and even Galilee. He wandered far to the coast of Caesarea, away from where he used to do the miracles in Caesarea Philippi. You know. So as he was there with his disciples alone, then he started to feel them. How are you feeling? How are you thinking now? You've seen all that you've seen. What do you think? You've been around for some time. How do you feel? What do you think? What do you think, Peter? So when you start to think correctly about God's servant, whom God has placed in front of you, right, your life changes. Now, those people who were saying, look at Mark 6, verse 2. Look at verse 2. This is how they thought when Jesus came with power. Mark 6, verse 2. Beautiful. Look at it. They said the way they thought was, which how some people feel, we are intellectuals. You know, you can't just tell us something, we accept it. We've been to school. Thank God I also went to school. And my course is higher than your course. And your marks are lower than my marks. After church, bring your marks and let us put them side by side. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach. And they said, questions. We don't just accept things. Where did you get this thing from? Where are you from? What type of wisdom is this? You know? First of all, tell us which school you went to. Verse 3. You know, this is how we think about you. Are you not, excuse me. You know why Joseph, the carpenter. Yeah. Are you connected to him? Do you know Mary, Auntie Mary? Do you know Auntie Mary? Okay, do you know James? Are you related? I was in school with him. What about Simon? Are you connected? I was doing athletics with him once. We were all doing javelin and hurdles. Yeah, it's very fast. I don't know Simon. We were all in a fellowship together. Is he in any way related to you? You look like him. Wow. And they were offended. Now, look at that. You are hurt. You see, offended means offended. Why do you come to church to be hurt? Then don't come here again. Don't come again. Okay? Something small, you are hurt. Well, I was sitting here. They made me sit here. I went there to the toilet. Please. We can't even marry you. You are too difficult to marry. You'll be offended about so many things. We can't stay with you for long. Oh.
It's too difficult. So people whose minds go towards offense, they are not thinking well. You know, there are some people, you're always not sure. Are you okay? Have I offended you? Did I do something wrong? I have to check. I have to ask. You become quiet. What, is there something wrong? Are you okay? Everything all right? It's not a correct thinking person. Not going to do well. So ladies and gentlemen, this is the wrong way to think. Now let's see the right way to think. Back Matthew 16, look at Peter. They ask him, how are you thinking? He wanted to know what is in your head. I always ask people questions. Theoretical questions, some practical, some theoretical, some hypothetical. Because I always want to know how they think. How you think even about a hypothetical thing reveals a lot about you. Yes. And he said, then what did Peter say? You are the son. You are the Christ. The son of the living God. Now let's see 10 effects of thinking correctly. Number one. And that's the end of my message. Yes, 10 effects. Let's see what happens to Peter after he thought correctly about Christ. How his mind was tuned properly on how he was relating to Christ. Number one, notice, Jesus answered and said, blessed are thou. So, first thing is a blessing. You start to be blessed in a way you've never been blessed before. When you start to think correctly. Blessed art thou. So, as for blessings, there's nothing like too many blessings. Because there are so many curses. Yes. Blessed art thou. So, you start to be blessed when you... And you are not blessed when you don't think. If you come to church and I'm preaching to you, and you are saying, thinking in your head, 1,000 wrong thoughts, you are not going to be blessed. Yeah. I was preaching once and a lady sister was telling me, the mother or whoever at home was saying that, is this preaching? Is this preaching? But he's just talking. He's just talking. Do you see? I've heard people say, but I know Doug. And I said, who is Doug? Do you see? Who is Doug? Uh-huh. Internet, you are not blessed. You can never be blessed by my ministry. Yes, but there are some people who are really blessed. Yeah, there are some people who are really blessed. You are declared to be one of those who are really blessed. Amen. Blessed are thou. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed art thou. Now, number two, acceptance. Yes. You know, now Jesus is saying to Peter, you are Peter. You see, he's now going to use him. But this is what I call acceptance and confirmation. Yes. So you are more accepted. More accepted and more confirmed in things that seem to be already with you. Once you can detect the person is thinking well. Yes. Think in a certain way. You become more accepted and acceptable. That's why bosses are always listening to how you speak. When you speak, they listen. And they say, this man has something to offer. This man is an idiot. And we need to be idiot-proof. Does fanning make you hotter or cooler? I think it makes you hotter. Because you keep on doing it. But anyway, you can do what you want. But I've always thought that it makes you hotter. Don't worry. I'll be finishing soon. Listen. You'll be accepted. And confirmed.
when your mind starts to think correctly. Yes. He says, thou art Peter. Thou art Peter. Yes. So, I prophesy your acceptance and your confirmation at various positions of importance in the name of Jesus. Now, sit down. I'm prophesying. You know, God wants to establish you in various things. It's the way you think. Yes. It's the way. See, it's about honor your prophet, but it's showing you in other areas as well. Yeah. How you think. Yeah. How you think. It causes you to be accepted or set aside. Yeah. And you know, one of the things you must also know is like, you know, important people are intelligent, usually. They have something in their head. It's not just full of water. And that has made them who they are. So how you think about me will definitely affect how I also relate with you. Based on how you think, I have now decided to accept you and confirm you. That's why your mind must grow up. That's why I don't want to leave this Sunday to pass without telling you the effect of right and wrong thinking. So you see that some of us are never really being accepted. You are not being confirmed in certain areas because you don't know how, you don't think well. Even you don't think well about your prophet in a certain way. You take him as less than he is. Well, Jeremiah is not bad at all. If somebody were to call me Jeremiah, I'd say, hey, me, Jeremiah. I mean, if you were called John the Baptist of any such people, wouldn't you consider it a very great thing? Let's be serious. The next one, promotion. Yeah. Peter was promoted to the head of the church worldwide. Go to Rome today in the Vatican. They have where they believe Peter died. Where he died is his tomb. And all the popes are there. Beautiful. Head of the church. Your promotion comes when you start to think correctly. Amen. Yeah. Now, you see, I'll tell you something. Promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. And from school. Or from hard work. And look, there are a lot of people that are working hard. You've not seen people laboring, working. One of the things that touches my heart when I see people working hard, and I want people to prosper. Amen. I feel for them. All to my, you see, my workers are the same people since 1991. The same carpenters are my carpenters. I don't like people not to prosper. All of them have built houses. Carpenters, masons, plumbers, what have you. All of them are all prosperous people. Oh, yes. Sometimes they present the bill, I help them to calculate it. I say, look, this what you are charging, the money will be finished before you finish the work. Yeah. If I want my carpenter to prosper, how much more my sheep that are under me? I'm showing you a master key to promotion. Even a master key to having a beloved. Yeah, to promote it, that was Peter was like the wife of Jesus. Master key to being chosen to be the wife. Yeah. Peter was like the main human being for Jesus Christ. Like his wife. He didn't have a wife. So like, that's like his main person. So, okay. Based on how you think, come and look. You'll be thinking that it's your makeup. You'll be thinking that it's your lipstick. You'll be thinking that it is your eyelashes and your eyebrows. I don't know what else. Or your cheeks. But it's how you are thinking. It's killing you. I know people that would be married today if they were to have been thinking right about me. When I pointed, I say, this one is good. Yes. This one is good. Yeah. This one is good.
This one is good. It's not bad. It's not bad. Take it. Yeah. If people had a way of thinking about the prophet, the difficulties. How many people have gotten married and said, marriage is not what I thought it was? Yes, we knew that it was not what you thought. That's why we told you that this one is okay. We knew that it wasn't what you thought. That's why we told you that this one is not bad. Promotion. I bless you with promotion. Sit down. The next one, leadership. Leadership. Peter was made a leader. You'll be made a leader soon. You'll be made a leader soon. And amazingly, you see, the difference between thinking that Jesus, Jeremiah, John the Baptist are different is what made the difference between him becoming the leader, a leader. Yeah. Some of you are not being made leaders because of the way you are thinking. Yeah. And I want to prophesy to you and listen. You see my book, The Art of Leadership? You see my book, The Art of Leadership? Especially that book. I feel a strong message to you on this one. They are all prophecies. Yes. And those of you who work in offices and places, read The Art of Ministry. The first, to how to relate to your boss, how to become a good personal assistant, how to, a lot of how to do things there. How to increase your value. Yes. It is, if you believe, those are my prophecies. Yes. You see, Moses was the greatest prophet in Israel. One of the greatest. He was compared only to Christ. But his prophecies were in the form of teachings of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the law, what we call the law. Those were his prophecies. They are working, even the British government used to form their laws up till today. It's far greater than telling you that tomorrow you see a red car. You know, it expires. These laws are eternal prophecies that are working. Yes. Leadership. You'll be made a leader soon. You'll be made a leader soon. You'll be made a leader soon. When I say it three times, it means it's confirmed. Say, I receive it. The next one. Peter was made stronger. He was turned into a rock. Yes. He said, upon thou art Peter. And he has never heard such words before. He said, you are now a rock. A rock. Strength. Great strength came to his life when he started thinking correctly. So in relation to myself, you'll find out that as a prophet God has sent to you, you become stronger. It says, now you are a rock. Just because you just adjusted your mind a little from Jeremiah and John the Baptist to Jesus. Yes. You see, you need to adjust your mind. There are times I'm speaking as an apostle. Apostle is somebody who builds churches. And there are times I'm speaking as a prophet. Many, many, many prophecies. You have to listen. As a prophet, because sometimes there are 5 stones like David had, but he had to take one to kill Goliath. And sometimes it's an apostle prophet, and one may be picked, and it may be a prophet or an apostolic or pastoral or father speaking. And whatever it is, whatever is chosen, you have to receive it in that way. Yes, you have to receive it as what it is. Yeah. So the difference is very important. How you see and how you. That's why he said, if you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. But if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. It's different. A righteous man and a prophet are different things. Different levels. There are levels of things you can receive. Are you listening? Yeah. You are becoming a rock. You are becoming a rock solid. Solid, 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 solid. You know, I must have something to say or to prophesy, to preach and to teach all these years, as you can see. That's why it was at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus asked this question. That, okay, now that you've seen all that you've seen and you see what God has done, who am I to you? It's up to you to decide. The next one. Overcomer. The next one, you are going to become an overcomer. He said, the gates of hell. It is there. Now the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now that you have thinking right. You see, all this is the result of what Jesus asked him. Who are you? What are you? What do you think I am? As soon as his mind was cut, and this is when Jesus started to release all these things on him. You'll be a rock in the gates of hell, hell itself. You can imagine the gates of hell that have been crumbled over the years as we have been ministering. You think even a piece of land will be given to you freely? No. Even the money to have is a power. Oh, yes. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. You see, that's why people are like sand. They crumble. They cannot stand. And you cannot be strong. And you cannot withstand things. And even when you meet the gates of hell, you cannot break the gates and enter your possession. But from today, whichever gate is lifted up in front of you is breaking down in the name of Jesus. Yes. You say, you can just see me as Brother Doug or anything. Yes. But if you see rightly, it changes something. And it changed a lot for Peter. Yeah, it changed a lot for Peter. Go back to verse 13. And Jesus asked his disciples. Today God is sending a general message to see who amongst you is thinking correctly. This was not a question to Peter. This was a question to his disciples. It's like, hey, disciples, how are you all thinking? Look at verse 14. And they said, blah, 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 blah. Verse 15. And he said to them, not to Peter, to the whole group, who do you think? What do you think? Verse 16. Then the man whose mind was working well said, thou art the Christ. So you see, perhaps even your selection in life, it will come from how you think. Being chosen, being selected by God. Yes. So, may your mind be adjusted. When it comes to your pastor, your father, it's not about perfection. No, that's why when Peter healed the sick, he said, why do you look on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Now, the next one, performance. you are going to be a performer. He said, now you can build a church. I'm going to now build with you. God is choosing you today to use you to build. Now, look at our brother who gave the testimony. When I see that he's a graduate from Anakazo Bible School. He's one of the graduates. When I see what he's doing, I don't even know how he does it. Because we don't give him money, we don't give him anything. Yes. He's just doing, he has employed so many people. Even our bishop there cannot employ those number of people. Oh, yes. He has bought cars for all of them. I don't know what he's doing there. Amazing. But he believed the word. I said, you shall build. So many people have told me, you said I'll build, and I built, and I'm building. Somebody said to me, my first house. He mentioned a flat. I was in London. We're having a meeting with some leaders. He said, we were in this room. And I told him, build a house. He said, that was the first beginning of my prosperity. I took it personally. And I started to develop houses. About 20 years ago. Yes. He says, you can now build. 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 You will build. You will build. You will build many things. You will build many things. In Jesus' name. Now, all this came out of, how do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Once you take it correctly, you are going to build. Read it. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. Amazing. But watch out. Something is going to turn and something is going to go bad. Something bad is coming. But before the something bad comes, something good is coming. Then he said in verse 19, I will give you keys. Receive keys to keys to every important house, keys to doors, keys to rooms. Somebody here, an important person is going to give you his keys. A key to personal rooms. Receive it, keys to the bank, keys to the safe, keys to where the treasures are hidden. I'll give you keys. Just because of your way of thinking or how you think about me. Am I reading from the Bible or it's a different book? Keys. You wonder why you don't have a key to a car. When I prophesy and I say receive a car, you can't even believe. You say that, oh, Daniel, when you come to church, they'll just be shouting things. That's how you think. I remember one brother, you know, he gave this testimony. He was working in a bank in Kumasi. And there was a prophecy in the church. I mean, I was ministering. I said, receive a car. And he said he received it, but he could not know of any way he could ever have a car. I said, on Monday, there was a meeting in the bank. The managing director was there. Everybody was there. Then people spoke. Then he lifted his hand, whether he could say something. So when he lifted his hand and spoke, the managing director told the person next to him that the man who lifted his hand to speak, get him a car this week. Yeah. The man who lifted his hand to speak. He gave the test himself. I don't see how I could have a car at this time. And you can see also it was the way he was thinking and how he spoke when he spoke. That even made him have the favor. Apart from the fact that he even believed the prophecy. Yes. I bless you with new cars. I bless your life with cars in abundance. You will never walk again in Jesus' name. Your days of taking buses are over. I see your car spread out from here up to the junction. In Jesus' name. Keys. Keys to your marital house. prophesy. Wow. 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 Are we reading the Bible or we are reading another book? The next one is secrets. Secrets. Mark 8, 29. And he said to them, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ." And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. You'll be entrusted with top secrets. I mean, there are some people who cannot be. When it gets to a certain point in the meeting, they have to ask you to go out. But from today, when it comes to the sensitive parts, you'll be included in that meeting in Jesus' name. Receive it. I bless you. You will now be considered as somebody who can handle top secrets. Receive it in Jesus' name. Number 7. Or number 8. Mysteries. You are going to receive mysteries. Now, Peter was exposed to the mysteries of ministry. Mark 8. And he began to teach. He said, "Who say you that thou art the Christ?" And he charged them that they should tell no man. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and be killed. This was a mysterious thing. All right. And in 3 days, rise again. Verse 32. Beautiful. All right. All right, so let's go on. Now, all these are for those who think correctly. And through this, you are going to be promoted. So from today, in relation to me, as your prophet, for your own interest, especially because you are somehow in the house, you have to be very careful because it affects people that are in the house. Yes. It affects people that are in the house. If you are close, it's not easy to be close. When you are close, that's why you can have, you see, a man of God can be married and the wife can tell him preposterous things. Yes. You can't even believe that. The person that you honor and love can be told certain things. Ever. It comes from the house. Yes. Otherwise, pastors will never have marital problems. They will have just honor sailing. One day I did an experiment. I wanted to see whether the honor increases with age. So I got a couple, you know, was 9 years older than the wife. And then when they got married, I was monitoring to see. Oh, look at it. He didn't say the prophet is not honor at his age group. He said in his house. I saw that he was now struggling. I saw another one, 20 years difference. 20 years. As you see the way the wife was taking him on. 20 years difference. The Bible is wild, though. Right and wrong thinking. Yeah. Put my verse back. Now something bad is going to happen before we close. And I pray that you will never be bad. Now, whenever God promotes you, through, maybe you come close. God allows you to go higher in him. Something bad, 3 bad things can happen. And it happened to Peter. Number 1, deception. Peter now thought that because of all this promotion with keys and I don't know how to keys. You can overcome. You can perform. You can build. You are a rock. You have secrets, mysteries. That now, he was now a guide to Jesus. Huh? And look at it. And he spake that saying. And Peter took him. You've taken God. Fisherman. You see, we don't want to talk about your background. but you are forcing us. Yes. Are you there? Deception. He began to think that he was more than he was. Familiarity. I mean, it affected Peter badly. And this is what affects people that sometimes start well and think correctly, but with time, or just sometimes, just a little opportunity. Say, you preach and I preach. You sing, I sing. Let's say little Kezam, she sing, so I sing, then Ida sings. Yes, you can easily think that way. She sings, I sing. You preach, I preach. Like my son here, so I preach, you preach, I preach. Yes. When he was born, I was driving around the city to find a place for him to be born. He was in my car trying to come out. In my Renault. Trying to come out in the car. And I was trying to save his life. Finding a hospital, finding a place. We couldn't reach the hospital. Yes. You preach, I preach. You pray for people, I pray for people. You anoint, I anoint. That's Peter. Look at him. He said, rebuke. He took Jesus and began to rebuke him. I reverse it in Jesus' name. It will not be reversed. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is that honor must continue. And we must not allow familiarity to cloud out. Yes. You see, if you took me as a prophet, it will affect your ministry of music. All the things I said, overcoming, gates of hell, keys, leadership, confirmation, acceptance, promotion, all those things will be yours. If you were to believe, yes. If you were to receive and think in a certain way. And we don't think that way. So it's for those who think. That's why you see, you know, that's why, you know, some of the younger prophets, they really, it's like when they speak and they behave, it's like you really behave in a way submitted and honoring purely. Yes. They're giving them the microphone, they kneel down to give the microphone. Yes. It's like it's an honorable person. It's not, here you are. I mean, Kadela has never knelt down to give me a microphone before. Even that honor to hold the microphone, to hand the mic to me. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So you see something different. The thinking. I was going somewhere to preach and they said, you know, Bishop is coming. He's just coming to preach. Kill yourself for Jesus. Kill yourself for Jesus. Even if it's kill yourself for Jesus, God has blessed me in kill yourself for Jesus. If that's what you want to call my preaching. Yes. That's why today, I don't know the cost of Kelewele. Abundance. Neither do I know the cost of a tin of milk or a tin of corned beef. I don't know how much it costs now. And I'll never know till I die. Yes. I don't need to know it. Yes. Now, when you lose your honor and when you make the mistake Peter made, notice. Peter, Jesus said to him, Satan. Now you notice this is Matthew wrote it, Mark, Luke, John, not Peter. You see, Peter wouldn't have added this part to the story. Satan, get thee behind me. forever. Peter was affected by that thing. Yeah. Peter was affected by that word. I mean, to be called Satan, honestly, it's bad. But look at how high he was. You are the rock, overcomer, this building. And now suddenly, you are rebuking the Son of God and trying to manipulate him and guide him against the cross. So you have to be careful. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Peter made a comment about somebody who looks like he has replaced Peter in this job. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent, you found in him without spot, blameless. Verse 15. And account that the Lord's long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written to you. Notice, this is the only comment he made about Paul. The man who has probably replaced Peter for his familiarity in influence, in headship, in control, in importance in the church worldwide for eternity. Watch it. Verse 16. Also in his epistles, in all, he was supposed to read it himself. Speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to be understood. Secrets. Mysteries. Peter couldn't write all the things that Paul wrote and didn't write it. Yes. And when you are called Satan once, it must affect you. You can't mishandle the honor and the honorable prophet whom God gives to you. You are rebuking him sharply, correcting him, and guiding him. Look at it. And he says, those which are unlabeled, and they struggle. Today, when you look at the church, who is the main person on whom the church is being built today? When he said, upon you I will build. Corinthians, which teaches about love, teaches about tongues, teaches about the Holy Spirit, teaches about faith. Hebrews 11, salvation, Ephesians, Romans, which teaches the whole church, the whole word. Upon you I will develop my church. Philippians, everything by prayer, nothing without prayer. Ephesians, salvation by faith, we are saved. Communion, the one who Jesus also came and appeared to him. Let's be very truthful. I mean, none of them are here, so we can feel free and decide. Now, when we see them in heaven, we just go and find out, actually, but who is really the head of the church? Yeah. And he looks like he's completely replaced. Yes, and he acknowledged the letters and all those things that challenge. This is high level. You can't take the Son of God aside and start correcting and saying this and that. It will cause you to be corrected and also to be set aside in a way that you may just be an institutional force. But the real thing is with somebody else. So you got to be careful. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Philippians. Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Thessalonians, what about going to heaven, 1 Corinthians 15, about eternity, the resurrection, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Romans 12, present your body a living sacrifice. I mean, who wrote all these things? Romans 3, 23, by faith, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Galatians, foolish Galatians, fruits of the Spirit, of the flesh, the works of the flesh, Philemon, Hebrews 9:22, by the blood they are saved. Oh, they picked that up. having you all set aside. So, you know, people are set aside when they play the fool with. And you see, you are talking about dying and I'm going to die, and also it's like he's weak, he's nothing. Don't misunderstand things. Don't misunderstand things. Don't misunderstand. Jeremiah, they beat him and arrested him. He was called the weeping prophet. It doesn't mean he was not powerful or he was not prophesied. He prophesied everything that will happen, and they beat him and he prophesied still. Don't misunderstand things. Don't misunderstand human things, because that's what God has chosen. He has chosen to work through human beings. Yes. That's why I don't put my picture on my books. Because when they see my face, my dark face, and they see that it's not a white face, they say, ah, what can this person teach us? A lot of people don't know me who read my books. I was in a church, I preached and preached. The person was controlling the sound. After 2 days, said, ah, is this the man? We are doing exam, a book called Loyalty and Disloyalty. Our church, we do exam, it's compulsory. I was in that church. The church had rented the hall, so they didn't know. They were just working there. So they were just controlling the sound and their equipment. Because when you rent the hall, you can't come and control the equipment. They'll control it themselves. That's why we control our equipment ourselves when we rent our hall. I mean, we give our hall. They said, we do exams. They didn't know who I was. That's how human beings are. Is it not there? So, are you not from Africa? Are you Africa? Say it well. Africa or Asia? lest you lose something. Yeah. So don't lose your position. Don't be get downgraded like Peter was downgraded to. I mean, I think Paul was upgraded and Peter just became institutional. You never become institutional. You know, there are always the real and then the official. Even in the government, we have official positions. And then the real positions. You are going to have the real positions in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. Hello? 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 Are you looking at me? Are you standing? Is everybody standing? I'm waiting for everybody to stand. Wow. Listen carefully. Are you there? One day, I took a book to read. And I was being blessed by the book. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't receive this book and this man as an author or as a minister. Receive him as a father. I had to really rethink. Yes. You see, I relate with Archbishop Duncan. I don't relate with him as a pastor in town. I relate with him as a father. That's what controls my relationship with him. I don't relate with him as a pastor. Like a man of God in town. No, at all. I relate with him as a father. I give him that honor. God told me to do that, and I'm doing it. It's spiritual. A teacher, a pastor is different. I relate with Kenneth Hagin, even in his death, as the greatest prophet. I told somebody once who said he's a prophet. I said, follow me to see the greatest prophet ever. A prophet whom Jesus can walk into your room physically and take a chair and physically sit down and talk to you for 2 hours. To me, it's the highest level. But I've always related with him. As the years have gone by, I've come to see why I see him as the greatest. As a great prophet. How you relate and I've noticed that it's important for people to understand and relate with me as a prophet, as a pastor. At different times, maybe I will say different things. But when I'm relating as a prophet, you must be careful. Yeah. You see, David was about to kill Goliath. He took one of the pebbles. 5 pebbles. Perhaps the one that will kill at the moment may be a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist or an apostle. But you must be open to receive the one that is coming. And many times I've spoken with people, but you see, my style is like, what's the name of the man who didn't come out of his house? Elisha, Naaman. He said, I thought he would do this. I thought he would do this, but that's not my style. I can be chatting with you, but that is a prophecy. Yes, that is it. Ezra 6:14 says, they prospered through the prophesying. Through the prophesying. Prosperity is what is missing. A lot of us. We are not prospering. Yeah, because we don't believe the prophecies. When I say prophecies, I mean the preachings, the teachings, and the prophecies, and the writings, and sometimes personal words, and sometimes specific things. The prospect, listen to that verse, it's beautiful. 3 prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and who else? Zerubbabel, I think, was the 3rd one. Yeah, they prospered. Haggai and Zechariah. Yeah, prophets. So, God has shown me great prosperity and flourishing. You know, this morning I met with some guys who said they were doing business. And I was speaking to them. But I realized that as I was speaking to them, they could not see that I was prophesying to them. Yeah. Try to see the prophecies so that you prosper. I bless you with prosperity. You know, I met medical students. I always meet them and I show them the way to pass the exams. Those who believe it, they are passing. Yes. If you joke with it, you will sit down and you... But you see, it's a prophet. It's like, what else can I do? A prophet rise and say, this is the way. Learn it. Because even not only that, but I have been there. Never failed. Never referred. Never failed an exam in medical school. Never repeated. Always at the top. Even that is enough credentials for you to believe. But as long as your mind doesn't work in a certain way, the keys are not in your hand. The gates of hell will be standing there. The ability to build, it will just not be there. Yeah. So, even if you are not in this church, God puts you in another church, or you go to another church. Remember this message. It's not just in relation to me. It's in relation to anybody who is God has placed in your life, or you God has placed over your life. Think correctly. Don't look at the person humanly. Because he doesn't need to. Do I take you to my house? Are you in my room? I don't need you in my house. You are not a domestic, what do you call it, relationship. It's spiritual. So see. And if God gives you a domestic input, be very careful. Because that is where you see that your mind, like Peter. You've been buying fish, bread, you've been doing things. Look at you are now taking Jesus aside to correct him. This is a mistake Judas made as well. You can see Judas the hell and Peter, you see that, a blasphemer came to be the head of the church. Be over him. I mean, for us here, I tell you, if you tell us who is influencing us today, there's no question that Paul is 100 times more important and significant to us than Peter. May you never be replaced. May you never be replaced. May your place never be taken by a blasphemer or a person who is not qualified. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for your people today. For every hand that is lifted. Dry seasons come to an end. Rain begins to fall. The sound of rain. The sound of abundance. The sound of increase. The sound of blessings from Jehovah are released over your life. From this day, may your mind work correctly until the day you step into heaven. May your mind work properly. May you have honor only for the prophets that God places over your life. May you receive whatever interventions God has in your life through these people. May you walk to higher places. Even as I take steps and I go up the stage, may your life be going higher and higher and higher and higher. May you not be in need, any type of need, any type of difficulty and want, in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy to your storeroom and I say be filled. I prophesy to your bank account and I say be filled. I prophesy to your storehouse of dollars and I say let the storehouse of US dollars be filled to overflowing in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to euros and pounds and I say let them multiply in your hands in the name of Jesus. I speak to your house that has not yet been built. And I prophesy to the ground, the land. And I say, be built. I say, be built. I say, be built. For the servants of the Lord shall occupy thee. There shall be running water. There shall be lights. There shall be car parks. There shall be cars. There shall be abundance of all things. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Whoever's hand has not been strong enough to finish your house, I see the strengthening that came upon Peter to strengthen you to finish whatever you have started. Receive divine and supernatural strength in the name of Jesus Christ. You are now called a prosperous son and daughter of the prophet. You are no more called a son and daughter of a poor person. The son of an elephant is an elephant. Receive elephant-like blessings in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy to your exams. You are going to excel in your examination. I prophesy over your school and I declare you are the best in your class in Jesus' name. I prophesy over your job that you have now. I prophesy and bless you over there. By the word of the Lord, you shall rise and rise and rise in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever is a chain around your leg that has restricted you from going fast, and that is holding you back, I command and declare that chain is broken today in the name of Jesus. You're not being need anymore. God has broken the chains. You are no more tied to poverty. You are no more tied to need and to hardship. Your dry season is over. Give the Lord a shout and a clap offering. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life this morning to Jesus, maybe somebody invited you, but if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says, thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall teach salvation. Salvation is the most important thing. If you are not saved, you will go to hell. And I prophesy you your entrance to hell. So, today is an intervention. God wants to save you from going to hell. If you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that, lift your right hand high. God bless you. I'm not sure. I want you to pray with me. Then lift your hand up. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. God bless you. I see so many hands. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, you want to give your life to God, come to me in the front here. Come. Come.
Come on to Jesus.
Come all the way to the front.
Give in your life today.
Your hands. Say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to Jesus. Have mercy upon me. Oh Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. Cleanse me. Wash me. Forgive me. Today, I give my heart. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I'm a child of God. From today, I am born again. From today, I follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Please register me in the book of life. I'm your child. I'm your servant. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Don't go back. I want to give you one of my books right here. This is a book called How to Pray. It costs 40 CDs, but I'm giving it to you as a gift. Are you happy about that? Very fast with the books, please. Very fast. Very fast. When we close, we are going to close just now. Come to the side here where these people are waving. I'm going to send one of my pastors, one of the anointed pastors, to pray with you and give you something before you go. Okay? Don't go away. And then also bring your phone. Where is your phone? Lift your phone. I'm going to do a blessing. Lift your phone. Father, bless all those here with phones, with new phones. And give them the podcast. Give them the podcast. Let them be connected to divine communication, divine communication, divine communication in Jesus' name. Whatever is good, let them hear good news on this phone in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we close, come to the corner here, Salvation Corner, and then you get something for your phone. You get something. One of the young sons of the prophet is coming to talk to you over there. All right? Is it powerful? So don't leave. As soon as we go, just go there. 2 minutes and then you are on your way. All right. Give them a Lord, a mighty clap offering. Hold your book. Lift it up. Let me pray with you. Say, I will read this book. I'm going to be established in Christ, in God, in Jesus' name. My life changes from this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. When you go home, write your name in the book and read it. And God is going to bless you. Every day. God bless you. Go back to your seat. Beautiful. It's time for communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which is poured out for you.
John chapter 6.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal. It is the meal of God.
Hallelujah.
Wilson.
Listen, one time the prophets came to town, 2 Kings, and they told him that there is a death, D-E-A-R-T-H, death in the city, you know. And so that word means hunger. Hunger. I declare not be hungry anymore. Yeah. So he asked them to make some food. Then when they tasted it, they said, ah, there is something poisonous in the food. Are you there? The next verse, yeah. And he said, there's death in the pot. Death. So they could not eat. Amazing. Verse 41. But then he said, bring meal. You know, bring some, it was, I think, some flour. A meal, like bread, whatever, and he cast it into the pot. Wow. So this bread, you see in the Bible, many miracles. So when that bread was put, or that meal was put in, you could consider it as a meal, like food. Or you could consider it as meal, as flour, whatever, it's the same thing. When he cast it into the pot, he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Now today, you are about to receive a meal. You are the pot. And Jesus is giving you a supernatural. You see, this is obviously not an ordinary meal that was put into the pot. It had a supernatural effect. It neutralized the evil that was there. Today, whatever is evil in your life, in your body, as you receive this meal, it is neutralizing the curse in your life. In Jesus' name, stand up, everybody. Beautiful. Father, thank you for this meal. We receive it in Jesus' name. As we cast this meal into the pot of our lives, we thank you that no harm shall come to us anymore. Our blood cells, our mind, our brain, our stomachs, livers, pancreas, kidneys, intestines, colons, every organ, our eyes, arms, legs, tissues, every harmful thing inside us, as we lift up this meal, we say that there shall be no more harm in our lives. You said, Lord, whosoever eats my bread, drinks my whatever takes away life, we curse it today in the name of Jesus. Something is painful in your body, receive healing. Something is not working in your body, receive healing. Something is not working in your life, receive healing. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Power is about to enter your body. Father, we thank you. We declare this to be the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus. This meal. Whatever is actively poisonous in you. Even your temperament, your personality, your life. I lift up the blood. Father, we declare this to be the blood of Jesus. Let whatever is poisonous about us, that drives away people from us, be cured in Jesus' name. You will never be declared a poisonous person. People will not be driven away from you. People will be attracted to you. Somebody here couldn't get married through this communion. Whatever is poisonous, make people say, no, I don't want you, it's going. Receive the blood of Jesus. No more lack of anointing. No more lack of healing. And no more lack of grace. Receive into your bosom the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of healing. The power of Jesus. Receive life. Receive healing. Receive long life. Ah, deliverance from accidents. Tragedies, deliverance from surprise and unfortunate incidents in the name of Jesus. Whatever represents a surprise, a bad surprise, is neutralized today in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands now. Whatever represents a surprise against you, a surprise that goes against you, in the name of Jesus, I bring an end to that surprise. I curse the curse that is coming your way. I say, I curse the curse that is coming your way. In Jesus' name. Now, I open the gate through which good news is going to come into your life now. May a wide gate of only good news be open in your life from today in the name of Jesus. Whatever makes you confused, I command the confusion to be terminated today in Jesus' name. Whatever confuses you, whatever is confusion to you, in the name of Jesus, anything that makes you confused, uncertain, unsure, uncertain of what to do, I bind its power today in Jesus' name. I fasten with chains demons of confusion in your life. I fasten with chains dragons of surprise, crocodile spirit of surprise, sudden attacks Hey, I block it with the shield of faith in the name of Jesus. Whatever is hidden from you that you need to know, receive revelation, receive understanding, receive light in Jesus' name. Your time of dryness, your dry season is declared over from now. Your dry season is finished in the name of Jesus. I see somebody, your feet are walking in the rain and in the waters that God has sent to your life. The brown, dusty fields are turned into beautiful, grassy lawns. Receive goodness and mercies. Receive goodness and mercies. Receive goodness and mercies. Your dry season is over in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Jesus, thank you for your intervention in our lives on this earth. For we know that life on this earth is full of curses. We thank you today that we came for an intervention in our situations. Light has come where there was darkness. Healing has come where there was pain. And the rain has begun to fall in the dryness of our lives. A new season begins now. Receive your new season of goodness and mercy. The dry season is over. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a mighty shout and a clap offering. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.